You know, I don't know everything. I know you find that incredible that I am the most intelligent person you've ever come across in your entire life, but I don't know everything. I was thinking about Einstein earlier this morning, how this was apparently one of the most intelligent people ever born, and yet he didn't own a comb or a brush. I mean, what's up with that? If you're that intelligent, look in the mirror. How could you go outside like that? Anyway, I don't understand a lot of stuff. I kind of will admit to you, I don't know what the theory of relativity is. I do not. I think it's that you can choose your friends but not your relatives. I think that's the theory.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Who doesn't like that sort of...
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. That's what I'm calling it. Here's the way this works. I'm going to talk for a period of time, and you can't respond to me because there's no way you can do that. So I talk, you shut up. What a perfect world it would be. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Thank you so much for joining me. Look, I want you to totally relax. Close your eyes, unless you're driving in the car. Don't do that. That'd be dangerous. Close your eyes, sit back, and just chill. And you just chill. Be quiet. Shh, shh, shh. Stop it. Don't shh. Be quiet. Quiet. There you go. Doesn't that feel better? Yeah. Now, if only I could be quiet, it would be perfect. But I won't be. This is going to be your meditation today. We're going to bond. We're going to bond. We're going to match our souls. We are going to bond. I am going to bond to you, and you are just going to sit there and accept my bonding. I am bonded and insured for everything. I got a thing in the mail yesterday from my gas company, which, and believe me, I have plenty of gas myself. I've got enough gas to actually run my entire house. Yeah, I'm a very gassy guy. My parents told me that I was a colicky baby, which means I had a lot of gas. I've been farting through my entire life. People have said to me, Ron, what have you done with your life? And I say, well, I've pretty much just been farting around through the whole thing because it's true. So anyway, so I get a letter from my gas company. And they're telling me that I need insurance on my gas line, and I just wasn't aware that I even had a gas line. I guess there's gas somewhere, and it travels through gas lines, I guess, and there's a gas line that goes under my lawn and into my house so I can get gas, and natural gas, by the way, not that phony made-up gas shit. I'm talking about natural gas, the one that's lower in sugar and calories. But apparently, from the street to my house, if something happens in that gas pipe, I'm responsible for it, and it could cost me billions of dollars to replace it. So my gas company is offering me gas line insurance, to which I laughed for about an hour and a half. Am I supposed to insure everything so that if anything ever happens, I don't have to pay for it? And by the way, that's not true. Insurance always has a deductible to it. So you're still paying anyway, just not as much. But I mean, you can insure your legs, you can insure your shoes. I'm sick of insurance. Whatever happens, happens. Stop. You know, I can go broke spending money, so if something happens, I don't go broke. It just doesn't make any sense to me. That's why I need guidance through my entire life. I do. That's why I listen to people. I listen very, very carefully. I know I talk a lot, but I listen very carefully. I don't believe in astrology per se, but there is a guy who seems to be so on target with the astrological signs that it just blows me away. And he joins me once a month to update the horoscopes. And he joins us again, Skip Starchild.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape. Let's see what the stars have in store for you. Aquarius, if your life seems like it's going nowhere this month, take heart in knowing that you are absolutely correct. That counts for something. Pisces, they say it's very rare for people to get attacked by wild bears in the city, but you are about to prove them wrong. Aries, this month your lucky number is 3, if you know what I mean. Taurus, you know that list of hopes and dreams you've secretly been keeping? Might want to change the title to Bucket List and get going on it. Gemini, the delivery boy is going to add a little something extra to the next pizza you order. Perhaps it's time to reconsider the whole no tipping the delivery boy thing? Cancer, don't put off your big plans just because it looks like someone else beat you to it. There's definitely room for 2 transgendered Caitlins in the world. Leo, a mysterious stranger will approach you with an intriguing proposition soon. The stars are a little unclear, so it's 50-50 that it might be a mugging. Virgo, put the sadness of the past behind you and get back out there in the world. This time, though, put on some pants first, and you're still not allowed near schools. Libra, pursue your dreams no matter what other people say. If you ask me, the world could probably use more whale gynecologists. Scorpio, not looking like a great month for you. The job situation is iffy, the romance will probably come to an end, finances are rocky, but look on the bright side. When and if it eventually shows up. Good luck. Sagittarius, a little more fiber in the diet wouldn't hurt, Capricorn, nobody likes Mondays, of course, but for you, this Tuesday is like, whew, wow, the stars are like cringing and talking about how to express their condolences. I'd say stay inside, but probably not going to make a difference. I'm Kip Starchild, and that's your New England Broadcasting Horoscopescape for the month. Until next time, peace.
Kip, thank you. I don't know how I could live or breathe without your direction. Skip. I got one question for all of you and one question only.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
Well, I'll tell you, the answer is going to be very different depending on who you ask. Women, for some reason, need to be surrounded by clothes. Maybe it represents the womb, I don't know, but a woman will actually reach orgasm standing in the middle of a walk-in closet. There is something about that. A woman needs to have 5 billion articles of clothing, even though you can only wear one at a time. And there is such a thing as called doing the laundry. But women don't think that way. Men, on the other hand, only need 1 pair of underpants, 3 socks, and anything that's ripped, and they are all set to go. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. And women create their own problem, I really believe. They put themselves on a different level of presentation. They wear makeup. They make sure that their clothes always look good, except for the people that go to Walmart who are wearing sweatpants and pajama pants and ripped t-shirts and football jerseys. They are disgusting, and I'm not including them in this conversation. But most women are surrounded by clothes, always want to look good. Most men don't give a squat's ass how they look at all, because for some reason women keep accepting them in their degrading, disheveled, moronic sense of style. It's the woman's fault. I think women everywhere should say, look, bozo, I make myself look wonderful for you every single day. I make myself look great. You don't give two little penny shits about the way you look. Well, I am sick of it. This is what women should be saying. I am sick of it. Either you clean yourself up and look presentable, or you can get on that highway and walk away from me as fast as you can, because I ain't putting up with it anymore. And the man will say to the woman, well, I didn't ask you to dress up so much. I didn't ask you to look so good. But the day that she doesn't, yeah, you won't like that, guys. There's a definite imbalance going on here. And I think it's time that men started looking in the mirror and realizing how they look. Now, some of them are butt ugly, which is fine because there are a lot of butt ugly women. But butt ugly women try to compensate it by looking better with their fashion accessories. Guys don't. They'll scratch their crotch on a first date. They just don't care. And women put up with it. Oh, that's so cute. You know, he's a man. He doesn't know how to cook. He's a man. He doesn't own a tie. He doesn't. He's a man. Men don't know how to about a tie. Men don't wear nice pants. He's a man. Stop making excuses for them. Start making demands on them. And you know what you can hold over their head to make sure that they look good. You got it. You got that little thing going. You got that thing going. That V thing. You got it going, man. Shut them off. Shut them off. You want any of this, baby? You better start acting better to me. That means put on some pants. If there's one phrase that I've heard 2 million times in my life is put some pants on. My mother used to I used to walk around the house in my underpants when I was a little child. My parents had no problem with that. But at the point, all of a sudden as I got older, it wasn't that cute anymore. And all I heard day and night, put some pants on. Will you put some pants on? Hey, put some pants on. And then I got older, and I heard it double. Like, all right, stop. Just put some pants. Will you put some pants on? Put some pants on. I think that'll be on my tombstone, my gravesite thing, my little tombstone. I don't know. I'm now talking like I'm in Colorado in the old west or something.
And on my tombstone said, here lies.
I don't know what you call the thing, but it'll say put some pants on. It really will. It really will. I know it will. I know it will. And that's what I'm not wearing.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
Hey, welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. If you're joining me for the first time and you don't know what's going on, that's pretty much the deal. Don't get too comfortable. Put some pants on. Don't get too comfortable because I tend to skip around a lot. I can be over here and now I'm over there. Marco Polo, I'm all over the place. Oh, yeah. You know, this show is free for the time being. Someday I'm going to charge for it, and we'll probably have to part company. I really don't know. But at this point, it's free. But it's free to you. But it costs money to put on this extravaganza with all the many people involved with it. So we do have to do commercials every once in a while. And I like to apologize for it because I don't enjoy commercials. I think they're horrible things. But at the same time, it's very, very important. So we'll be right back after these short words from our sponsor.
Ain't always easy these days to know what to give your kids for snacks. Sugary this, high fructosey that. Heck, even the stuff they call natural ain't always natural. But there's one snack when your kids ask for it, you know exactly what you're giving them.
I want Piggy Parts. I want Piggy Parts.
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts are 100% all-natural salt-preserved pig parts. What parts, you ask? Well, some folks would call them scraps or ears or hoofs, but kids just call them delicious. And with their stiff, leathery texture, one Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Part will last a kid all afternoon. That's what we call value. So stock up now for school. You'll find them at the end of the pet food aisle in original, barbecue, or vinegar, garlic, teriyaki, onion, habanero, pineapple flavor. Give them a try and you'll see why kids say,
That's some good piggies.
Professor Parker's preserved Piggy Parts.
By the way, that's Badfinger. Sometimes I play parts of songs and people say, what was that? So I'll tell you. There you have it. Hey, if you want to comment on the show, give me some ideas of what you would like to hear lampooned or satired or whatever, you can go to MetroSouthPodcasting@AOL.com. Yes, AOL.com. I know. Don't give me a hard time. MetroSouthPodcasting@AOL.com. Communicate with us. Join us on Facebook. There's like four Facebook things, so just Google it and whatever. And we'd love to become your friend. Your little friend.
Oh, Ronnie, you have a new little friend.
So childish and moronic.
Come and get it, but you better hurry, cause it's going.
Yes, you can like us on like me on your on the Facebook thing, and who doesn't want to be liked, right? Spent my entire life as an adult, raising children, earning money, being a man, and now I'm just walking around asking people to like. Do you like me? Can you go on the internet and tell everybody that you like me? When I was a little child, I was a lot shorter. When I was a little child, my mother would she would cook in the kitchen. She didn't know how to cook. My mother didn't know how to cook. She didn't. She could spell the word, but she couldn't actually utilize it to any degree whatsoever. She didn't know how to cook at all. And as a child, it was difficult. Myself and my brother had to suffer through the fact that she could not cook, didn't know how to cook, didn't know what cooking was, knew that she needed to put something in front of us to consume, but wasn't quite sure how to go about that, ever. As a matter of fact, I remember we were on a family trip down in Virginia or something, and we passed a couple of roadside diners, and out front there was a big sign that said, Genuine Home Cooking. And I remember my father speeding up because he didn't want to stop. He said, home cooking? No. If we're going on vacation, the last thing I want is something that tastes like cooking in my home. Because that ain't cooking. I ain't stopping. It's just, why would somebody want to stop at a restaurant that says home cooking? Why didn't you just, like, go home and cook? Why would you want to? Well, I'm far away from home, and I want to eat food that reminds me of being at home. Well, then go home. I mean, what's your problem here? Wouldn't you want food that isn't like what you're at home because you've left your home to enjoy something else? I don't understand that. I understand this home stuff. When you go away, you purposely go away from the home. Do you ever watch these television shows, these competition shows? You know, like American Idol or one of those 50 Gordon Ramsay cooking shows where they say, oh, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to send you home. And they go, oh, no, you're going to have to go home? Hey, asshole, it's where you live. I mean, yeah, you should be excited. Oh, great, I get to go home and see my family and get off the stupid show. That's the reaction that you should have. I'm sorry, Susan, you're not American Idol, you're not a finalist, it's time for you to go home.
No, anything but that. That's where my husband is and my children. Don't send me home, please. Oh, please don't send me home. I hate home.
They do it like it's a punishment. I'm sorry, but you'll have to go home. It was like when I was growing up, when I was a little child, my parents would get mad at me, although I never did anything wrong. My parents would get mad at me and say, Ron, go to your room. Okay. All right. Thank you. That's fine. Fine. Yeah, sure. I'll go to my room. I got tons of shit to do in there, man. I got all my toys in there. I got a little television set. I got my bed, my comfy bed, and yeah, I'll go to my room. Sure. You want to punish me? Tell me that I can't go to my room. That's how you punish me. It's just like the TV shows. I'm sorry you're going to have to go home. I'm sorry you're going to have to go to your room. Okay, man. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. You're punishing me by making me go someplace where I feel extremely comfortable. Thank you. Yeah, my parents needed a lesson in punishment. See, I would do it differently now, you know. If I had little children and they got out of hand, I'd say, all right, that's it. You can't go to your room.
Oh, come on.
No, you can't go to your room. Sorry. No. Of course, some of my ideas would probably require intervention by Child Protective Services, but nonetheless, let's get off that subject immediately. It's not one. I love children. I really do. I love, I kind of don't actually. I don't see the popular thing is to say I love children. But indeed, I love my own children, but I don't love other people's children. Other people's children are always forced upon me.
I got to tell you about Johnny. Johnny got an A in math.
Oh, okay. I want to explain something to you. Johnny is not my kid. I don't give a fuck if he got an A or an E or a C or a D or whatever letter you want to attach to his exams. I don't really care. He's not my kid. Fine. I'll make believe I care. Oh, really? He got an A? That is so amazing. But why would I care? When I go to a restaurant, if there's a kid sitting at a table, if there's like a 3 or 4 year old kid or an infant little colicky baby like I was, I will say to the hostess or the host, whatever, I don't want to be sexist here, could I get a different table, please? I'd like to enjoy my meal that I'm paying for and not have some whiny little brat kicking his feet or her feet and screaming and yelling. And do you mind if you could find me a table like somewhere else where there's no... See, in restaurants, they should have a separate area. Remember, they used to have smoking areas, which is really stupid because smoke doesn't, like, stay in the room. You know, they used to have a smoking room. And then apparently, smoke would never leave the room. like smoke, like said, oh, hey, we can't leave this room. The smoke would waft all over the restaurant. Who are they kidding? But in restaurants, they should have separate rooms for families that go to restaurants with their little annoying brats. A separate room, and all you annoying brat parents can stay in the same room and not annoy the adults who their hard-earned money to have a decent meal in a comfortable restaurant setting. I don't go to a restaurant 100% because of the food. I go there because the food's good, but also because I want atmosphere. I want to be served. I want to have my food in a different place and a nice atmosphere. A little kid crying and kicking and screaming and squirming is not the atmosphere. I don't have little kids in my house. Why would I want to go to a place where I have to be annoyed by these little fucking midgets? All right. Yeah. It's not that I hate kids, but they're your problem. They're your kids. All the politicians say, you know, the most important thing is our children, because they are our future. Oh, really? Kicking and screaming and fussing and that's our future? No, it's not. They're going to grow up and they're going to be fine. Stop it. Stop it with the kids. No kid left behind. We'll leave all the adults behind, but the kids, don't leave them behind. What is that a rule for a school bus driver? I mean, what does that mean, no kid left behind? I don't know. I mean, children are wonderful, man. We were all children and we all were there. But we all grew up. Being that little annoying child it lasts about 5 years, and then you get old enough to be able to have some type of filter in your head where, oh, I'm bothering the other people. I'd rather learn things than just scream all the time. So for 5 years in a kid's life, you're unruly. You don't know what the hell's going on. And I understand that, because life is not wonderful for most kids, and they have gas. I had gas too. So I get that. But don't shove them in my face. And if you ever come up to me with your little child and say, oh, here's my, and expect me to go, oh, look at the little baby. I'm sorry, I can't. I will never do that. I will never do that. You know what I feel? When you show me the little baby, I feel sorry for the parents. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a difficult time. They scream. They poop all over your hands. You have to change them. They are sloppy. They can't do anything for themselves. They can't even hold their head up. You have to get up all night and feed them, and you have to regard them and take care of them and bundle them up. And I feel very sorry for you. It's a very difficult, horrible time of life. That's what I feel when I see a little baby. And I'm different in that way, because most people go, oh, look how cute the little, look, they can't even hold their heads. Look how cute the little baby is. Not me. Oh, the poor parents. Oh, what they must be going through. So don't bring your babies around me. You're not going to get any cutesy response from me. I'm sorry. But I love kids when they act like mature adults. Anyway, so my mother couldn't cook. Wow, this was like 10 minutes ago I started that thing. My mother couldn't cook. And everybody in my neighborhood cooked with lard. They used to have a product called Crisco, which I think was just a tub of lard. It was Crisco oil, but it was congealed. It was lard, man. And my mother used to take bacon grease, and I don't even know how she learned how to cook bacon. She somehow figured to take the bacon out of the wrapper and put it in a frying pan. It was amazing that she was able to do that, believe me, because she couldn't cook. They would take the bacon grease that was left over in the pan and pour it into a glass jar, hoping that the glass jar wasn't going to break because of the heat. And it would turn to a congealed, white, gooey crap thing. And then they used to use that to cook other things in. which is totally disgusting. And I can't believe I'm still alive after eating like that. Or it's just an amazing lifestyle that they had. And then I learned that a lot of adults have cholesterol problems. Now, I don't know if my parents had cholesterol problems because I don't think they tested for that. I think this is a new generation where they're so concerned about cholesterol. There's good cholesterol. There's bad cholesterol. It's kind of like religion. There's heaven and there's hell. There's good cholesterol. There's bad cholesterol. It's the fight of the century. So I apparently don't have that much good cholesterol, and I have a little bit more bad cholesterol. So I don't know how this boxing match is going to end up. So I'm on the lowest dosage of Lipitor that you can possibly find. And I've talked about this on a previous show, because Lipitor now is, it used to be touted as the miracle drug. Now it's like people are suing the Lipitor company because in women, is a possibility that it could give you type 2 diabetes. Well, that's wonderful. So my cholesterol will be under check, but now I can't eat sugar and my limbs will fall off. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Lipitor. We've solved one problem to give us another. Yeah, but we solved the first problem, didn't we? Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. I get it now. I see what you're doing. So anyway, so there's good cholesterol, there's bad cholesterol. And for those that can't take care of their bad cholesterol through regular cholesterol medication like Lipitor, I guess they've come out with something that really works now, only if the other stuff doesn't work. So we decided to get in touch with a doctor and a patient and find out where this is at. So let's do that right now. We're joined by Dr. Harold Bays, who's an endocrinologist with Louisville Metabolic Research Center, and Peggy O'Connor, who is a patient living with high, low-density LDL cholesterol, which I think most of us is familiar with that situation. Good morning to the both of you, first of all.
Good morning.
And thank you for doing this today. Well, I think three-quarters of my audience knows exactly what we're talking about here with cholesterol concerns. I myself have been on it for a period of time. Let me start the interview first with a little bit of a twist, a little differently. I am greatly concerned about this Lipitor stuff because reports are coming out and lawsuits, and I don't know if it affects everybody or that kind of thing, but I'm starting to look in other directions in order to control cholesterol. And I had learned, I was looking forward to this interview because I had learned that there are some other options perhaps. So let's talk about that. Dr. Harold Bays, indeed there are other options.
Well, I think that there, so first off, Ron, thanks for having us this morning. I think that there are many options for treating of the high cholesterol.
Yeah.
I think you are correct that that statin therapy with what we call Lipitor or atorvastatin would be a representative of that particular class.
Right.
That is the standard of care. That's the standard of care for patients who have the high cholesterol.
Yes.
But what's really interesting with regard to this this new class of drugs that we're developing is that this this Praluent, this is the first entry of this first new class of drugs. What this is a drug that works differently than that of the statin.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's say, for example, you have a patient who has very high cholesterol because of a genetic abnormality, or maybe the patient has had a heart attack. For those types of patients, if they are on the statin, the maximally tolerated statin dose, and they're not able to achieve their cholesterol goal, then that would be the indicated use for this new drug, the new FDA-approved drug called Praluent.
So statins are still the mainstay, is what you're saying. It's the first attempt.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
And are you somewhat concerned? Again, a little bit off of course here, but we'll get to things. Are you somewhat concerned about how the report on statins may be affecting people in an adverse sense, as to introducing them to a level of diabetes, et cetera, muscle pain? I guess with anything there, you take chances, and you have to weigh the good and the bad.
I think that's the exact right way to look at it, Ron, is that every drug has potential advantages and disadvantages. Mm-hmm. I think on balance, if you look at the objective clinical trial data,
yeah.
What you find is that statins are wonderful drugs, okay. And that's the reason, and that with a lot of experience,
yeah.
A lot of patients who have taken it, and I think that's the reason that statins remain the
okay.
Treatment of choice for patients who have
right.
The high cholesterol level.
Right, but as you say, that doesn't work miraculously with everybody, and other options need to be explored. And Peggy O'Connor is joining us as well from the Boston area. Congratulations, first of all.
Thank you.
what is your involvement as a patient? What have you discovered?
Well, I've had high levels of the LDL bad cholesterol for mm-hmm. a number of years, and worked with my doctor in adjusting diet, exercise, trying the statin,
mm-hmm.
and was still not able to reach my goal. And in 2012, I actually suffered a heart attack.
Oh my!
Because I was not at goal, well, possibly because I was not at goal.
Yeah.
I certainly had still very high levels,
yeah.
and was not able to achieve my goal even after that.
Uh-huh.
And so, in 2013, my doctor had offered me the opportunity to join this clinical trial,
yep.
and I went through the study phase of it, and now I'm in the open label use of it, and I've been using it for about a year and a half now, and since then I am at or below my LDL bad
cholesterol
goal.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Cool. I love when stuff like that works. Wow. Okay. Now this is you would go to your doctor, Dr. Bays, and you would mention this particular option to your doctor. They may not be familiar with it. Is that what we're talking about, or it's still under study situations?
No, it's recently been approved.
Oh.
And here's the other thing, Ron, I know that, these interviews are very short and people
yeah.
are I'm sure paying attention and such, but sometimes people want to get more information. And with the information age, what's really nice is, now everybody's got their own website. So with regard to Prouent, there's the www.prouent.com, that's PRAULENT.com, and there, people can look at things like, patient support services. They can learn a little bit more about the drug.
Right.
I think, Peggy, you'd agree that one of the more valuable aspects of the website is to give people a little bit better understanding about how the drug is administered.
Yes, it's administered differently than the statins. The
uh-huh.
statins are a tablet,
right.
and this is an injection.
Okay.
The patient gives themselves the injection. It is once every 2 weeks.
Oh.
But it's in a device that's a pen. And so there is a video educational spot on the website that will help the patients learn how to use it. And it's actually very easy to use.
Does this replace the statin regimen, or are statins used still as a base and this drug on top of it?
It's supposed to be used on top of the highest dose
uh-huh.
that the patient is able to tolerate
okay.
of the statin.
Okay, wonderful. But it works, and there you are. Yeah, thank
yeah.
God. Thank God it does, because the frustration.
Yeah, and John, let me just
yeah.
get with that. So I'm a researcher, clinical trial researcher.
Yeah.
We've been involved in helping develop these types of drugs, and specifically the Prouent.
Yeah.
And one of the things that's very exciting to me is to see the degree by which that the LDL cholesterol, that bad cholesterol,
yeah.
is reduced. I mean,
yeah.
we haven't seen this kind of LDL reduction, this LDL cholesterol reduction, since the development of this statin. So
right.
this is really something for what we call lipidology. So
right.
people like me that treat cholesterol a lot, we just really haven't seen this since the development of the statin.
Great. Perfect. Well, I'm glad. I mean, it's almost like you've solved the disease, kind of, in a way. I mean, you've there are no options, so this is great. All right, so that's Prouent. It's PRAULENT. You Google that, and you're all set. And that website should answer most questions, and I assume you would go to your doctor or cardiologist, if that's the situation, and mention
yes,
the drug.
Yes, that's exactly right. You just go to, as you know, most patients have their cholesterol treated by their primary care clinicians, but
yeah.
Exactly as you mentioned, cardiologists might be involved, endocrinologists might be involved,
right.
might have a nurse practitioner, might have a physician assistant, internal medicine, family practitioner, even OBGYN doctors are managing primary care nowadays. So I think this is something at least everyone should be aware. I would agree with you there.
Nice. Well, you've done that to this area, and we appreciate your time. And Peggy, congrats to you and Dr. Harold Bays. Thank you so much for the information.
Thank you.
You take care.
All right.
Bye-bye. There you have it, babe. There you got that. All about your cholesterol. They should really spell cholesterol differently. It should be C-O-L, not C-H-O-L. C-H-O-L should be the Jewish pronunciation. Cholesterol. I tell you something, Bernie. I've got high cholesterol.
Don't you mean cholesterol, Irving?
No, that's not the way it's spelled, Bernie. It's cholesterol.
What is an OBGYN? An obgyn? That's like a woman doctor? Or is it, it's a doctor of vaginality? Why don't they just say that? It's my vagina doctor. It's my doctor concerned with the vagina and all the wonderful things about it. OBGYN? OMGYT? I'm going to visit my OPTOT, my LOCKK, my OBTTPA, my Obi-Wan Kenobi, my vagina doctor. I used to have a vagina doctor, and then I found out I didn't have a vagina, so I kind of canceled my appointment. No doctor of penitology. There should be a penitologist, a penis doctor, but there isn't one. There's a PONYT, a PGNYP, an OBDYDO. There's a general practitioner that generally knows just a little bit about everything, nothing, not a lot about anything, just a little bit about something, and they're always specialists. So the general practitioner is like a holding tank, like when you call up a company, customer service or something, you know, like, press 1 if you want customer, press 2 if it's a billing question, press 3 if it's a technical question. That's what a general practitioner is. I don't know. I'm going to have to dish you off to somebody else, but for now, how you doing? How you feeling? Well, ladies and gentlemen, kids of all ages, except for the real young ones who I can't stand, why would you ever want to be on an airplane sitting next to a little kid? I mean, wouldn't you want to change seats? I mean, that's what I'm talking about, man. I mean, I keep saying I love children. I really don't. I understand that part of life. You have to go through it to get to the next part of life. I get that. But that is your thing, not mine. They're your children. I have my children. You have your children. Let's just call it even. Let's not infiltrate each other's problems upon one another. And when our children get old enough to be able to express themselves, act responsibly in a mature manner, then I will consider them no longer children. And then I'm good to go. personally, I'm good to go at that point. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Don't leave any children behind. Make sure they're always next to you or in front of you. And I wish you peace. Tomorrow? Huh? Yeah? Do we have a date for tomorrow? Don't stand me up.